Well, good morning, everyone. I greet you all in the name of Jesus here this morning. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Again, here, Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would break that bread of life for us and this morning. Lord, we feel very needy this morning, and we ask that you would minister to each one of our hearts here and your truth. And we ask this, and we ask that you be with each one, each heart here today. You know each one of us, and lead us on. We ask in Jesus' name. We pray. Yeah, okay, well, I was going to have a short opening here. Felt like the Lord gave me a few words here. In recent weeks here, months, on the subject of along the lines of what Moses is sharing on there, and making right judgments and discernment and seeking not our own will, and I want to talk specifically about our role in that, and the term an understanding heart or a heart of understanding oftentimes plays a big part in making right judgments and discernment, having proper discernment in life and the problems of life. And I was looking to, just the great need of that, having an understanding heart. Whether you're a husband or a father or in a brotherhood, we desperately need to be able to hear and understand and make right judgments and discernment in our day today. And I was going to look at some examples of King Solomon. If you open your Bibles, if you have a Bible and you care to open to 1 Kings chapter 4. There's some beautiful verses here I came across some time ago, and I just felt there's some things there that I need in my life, and in 1 Kings chapter 4, 29, it says that God, chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much in largeness of heart, even as a sand that is at the seashore." And so the Word of God says that Solomon had wisdom and understanding exceedingly much and largeness of heart. That phrase is just the beautiful phrase there, largeness of heart, and if you back up there a few verses there, how that all came about there. In chapter 3, verse 5, it says this is early on in Solomon's reign there, and I think he was about 20 years old, and Solomon began in a very good way his walk with God and his life, and ruling the kingdom of Israel there. And it says in verse 5 there that in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And that's a beautiful thought there, that God came to him in a dream and said, "You ask, and I want to give you whatever you ask for," And I don't think God would just tell anyone that, but he trusted Solomon's heart there. He trusted that he basically just said, "You ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, verse 6, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all of thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." So a beautiful act of devotion there. From Solomon there. And so it appears that he, you know, we speak much of Solomon's wisdom, but what he actually asked there was understanding, you know, and an understanding heart to hear. And that word understanding in the original Hebrew is it just means a hearing ear or a listening ear, a discerning ear. It means to hear. And we'll just note, you know, the effects of that in Solomon's kingdom there. And I believe the effects of that in our homes and in our churches will be the same. But there was a resulting of peace and beautiful things happened there in that kingdom there. We'll read here some of his righteous judgments here. We'll read there in 1 Kings chapter 10 there, how the Queen of Sheba came. And she was a queen from the south. And Jesus indicated that she came a long ways, and she made a great effort to come search out the wisdom of Solomon. It says that she heard of the fame of Solomon, verse 1, concerning the name of the Lord. And she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her questions that was not... And there was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom in the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Albeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes have seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are they, are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." Goes on to say there how she brought incredible gifts to this Israelite king. this Jewish king there, and he was. But she noted that there was a peace upon the land, and there was a happy, there was a joy coming from the people when there's, I think it was due to the righteousness and just the right judgments that he made. And look at another example there in an old story here that I've heard since I was a little child and that's in chapter 3 there also of the two women who brought the child to Solomon there. And some interesting truths there that I saw in that. And when I looked at that here some time ago, I grew up hearing that story a lot in the church I was in as a child. Some of those things just... but we'll look at it again here afresh here and note that the righteous judgments of Solomon there. It starts in chapter 3, verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, "O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house." So these two women, it says they were harlots. And it was remarkable that these two women, were allowed before the king, to hear their situation. Solomon could have said, "You two, that's a despised, I imagine those two ladies were despised in society from their own families, very likely. And Solomon himself was probably rather embarrassed, that it appears they were of his people. But he said, "No, I want to see if I can help somehow." Just a heart of understanding there is what I thought was beautiful there to behold. So you all know the story there, they both had a baby, and the one baby died. And the one woman simply switched babies. And so when they wake up, the one woman looks at the dead child she has, and she says, "The child's dead, but it's not mine, The living child is mine." And the guilty, the woman that had switched, did the switch, she held to her story there. And so they brought it before the king, will you hear this desperate situation, what can you do to help this situation, what on earth, how are you going to decide, And Solomon just said, "Bring me a sword, we're going to cut the child in half." And just think of the wisdom of the understanding heart that he had there. And I imagine there was probably a gasp went up in the courtroom there, and immediately the woman who was the rightful child, she cried out, "No, stop, give the child alive to the other lady. I'll gladly give up that child. I want the life of my child." And Solomon discerned there that the heart of love, the overpowering, the great power of love and truth had to come. When he saw that demonstration, he just knew that that's truth there, And the other lady said, "Go ahead, cut it in half, it's fine with me, When we face difficult situations sometimes in life, we see those two attitudes. Just think a little bit about the wisdom that Solomon saw there. We see those attitudes. One oftentimes is, how can we salvage this situation, or how can we go on? How can we help rather than chop the child in half? Solomon's understanding heart discerned that, and it says that It says the last 28 there, it says, and all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. And yeah. So I'm going to talk a little bit about an understanding heart and how do we that's a very practical, simple practical things that we can note, and about how do we get this understanding heart. Now, obviously, to be born again is the first part of. I'm talking to born again people here. You know, most of us are, and this message is not for you if you're not born again and you're unsurrendered, and you're rebelling against God. This message isn't necessarily, you know. Solomon, the first thing he did was he had to ask for that understanding heart. You know. When he was given the choice, God said, "What do you want? You know, you ask what I shall give thee." And he asked, you know, he saw that need in his own life of understanding and hearing. And I think he saw that need very, very acutely when he, in the context of ruling the kingdom of Israel there. And, you know, as a father, and a brother, you know, a mother, you know, each one of us, we desperately have that need ourselves, and we need to ask God for that. And in Matthew 7 there, Jesus said there, I just quickly turned to it here, but ask and it shall be given to you. Matthew 7:7. Seek and you shall find. And it's interesting to note that this is in the context of making righteous judgments here. And the devotional we had the other night at the brothers' meeting there was a blessing there, and making a righteous judgment, discretion in matters, you know. How? Verse 7 says, ask. It should be given you. Because, you know, in the flesh, you know, we struggle making righteous judgments. And having right discernment and knowing how to handle problems that arise, that takes the Holy Spirit, and it takes the Spirit of God and the power of God, and we don't get that unless we ask. He said, ask and it shall be given you, and seek you shall find. Because the other part of that is that judgment there. He said, you know, he does want us to make right judgments. He doesn't, it's not, the world takes that judgment part there and just puts that whole thing on the shelf and says, stay away from that. But it says there in verse 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So, we're not called to not make righteous judgments, but we're called to not be a hypocrite. And I think an understanding heart goes a long way in that. And it goes on to say, ask. Verse 8, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? You know, how much God is willing to give us this discretion and to see things correctly, and if we're willing to seek not our own will, there is most shared there this morning, but seek the will of the Father. Uh, another part of understanding heart is just, you know, it's easy when there's a problem arises and someone has a fault against me, you know, at work or you name it, you know, and it's easy. It's a whole lot easier just to look back at them and find a fault that they have and hit them with it rather than saying, you know, there's probably some truth in that. And I want to hear, you know, hear what they're saying or a complaint, you know. And oftentimes, if there's a complaint against us, you know, as a father, you know, that it's usually my fault because those complaints. I mean, sometimes we blame people for overreacting about something, but the fact that they're overreacting is because of what I did, you know, and so yeah, just a hearing ear just goes a long ways and it goes so far. So ask is the one thing we can do. Ask and seeing our need there. Second thing, a few thoughts I jotted down. You know, feeding on God's word. You know, are we feeding on God's word? Is God's word real and living in our life? You know, it's we can say that God's word is alive today, and it's not God said, but it says. But we can say God says. You know, it's not God said. It's the word is alive today. You know, think about that. God says this, and this word is still speaking to us today. You know, feeding on God's word and just worshiping, having true worship, goes a long ways. Discerning God's heart for our lives and worship. You know, a lot is said about worship in our day, and I found a few thoughts here that in a Rodden Staff tract here recently. It talks about worship, and it struck me how worship must be, true worship must be grounded in obedience. You know, true worship, if it's not grounded in obedience, why it's false worship, it's not going to last. Obedience is the key to meaningful worship. Worship that does not yield an obedient, surrendered life cannot be true worship. I just quote from this writer here. Jesus said that if we love Him, we will keep His commandments, and that conversely, if we keep His commandments, we abide in His love. When our love for God produces a life of obedience to God, we have found true, meaningful worship. Worship that is both in spirit and in truth. It says, without obedience, worship becomes a one-sided relationship, an empty exercise. Even if emotion-laden, obedience is the key to meaningful worship. When we are unwilling to relate to God on His terms, our worship is empty, and though it may still feel meaningful to us, if we're unsurrendered. And true worship will lead us to a surrendered heart, a heart of understanding. Example of false worship there is the prophets of Baal there in Elijah's day. We read here recently about and how their worship was. They came around this altar and they began to shout and to claim that they're going to get God's attention by shouting and dancing they even resorted to drawing blood. But that's a picture of false worship there. Reading to the children the other night, that story. It's an example of false worship there, you know. God is not impressed with any of that. God wants a sincere heart. And contrast that with the prayer of Elijah there, and it was a very simple prayer, that prayer of faith. And the third thing I jotted down here was a proper fear of God will give us an understanding, will aid in an understanding heart. A proper fear of God. I find that a fear of God, a proper fear of God. Jesus said, "Fear not him that can only." I'll just try and quote it here. What can only harm the body, you know? Man fear. We either fear God or we fear what people think. And a proper fear of God will help us to make righteous judgments. Help us to understand difficult things. And we have to expel man fear and pride. And Jesus said, "Fear rather, I will tell you who you should fear. Fear him that is able to kill you and cast your body and soul into hell." I think he says, "Fear him." Yea, he says, "Fear him." And a proper fear of God, yeah, is will help us to have an understanding heart. Another scripture here, and I'll read here in James 1:5. In closing here. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Yeah, so hope those few thoughts some things that the Lord has been teaching me, and trust it will be a blessing to us. And I think I'll just close with that. Bless you. Thank you.